they all walked away with nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams that had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come.
Amen. What a wonderful music program this morning, starting out singing about the resurrection, continuing singing about the resurrection, and then the choir special and the special about the resurrection. What a blessed Savior we have, a living Savior. Say, where is He today? He's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. My, what a Savior. We're delighted that you've chosen to be here today, and we ask you to open your Bible now to John chapter 19, John's Gospel, chapter 19. Now, we do not collaborate on what the choir is going to sing or what I'm going to preach about, except we pray about it. And it's good to have the Holy Spirit of God in charge and see Him at work. If you found your place in John chapter 19, would you stand, please, because we love and respect and reverence the Word of God. I will begin to read in verse number 23 and follow silently with me as I read. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lot. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, and he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, to John, Behold thy mother. What he's doing there is saying, John, you take care of my mother from this day forward, and mother, you look to John as your son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother, and from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put upon it hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. I'll leave there, and I want you to notice the statement Jesus made on that cross in verse number 30, when he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. Father, help me today as we bring the message this morning. Help me to help these dear folks who've come out to remember and worship you on this Resurrection Sunday, that the wonderful work of Calvary has been finished, and salvation is complete and available. When Jesus came out of the grave, it sealed salvation's story and made it available to men and women, boys and girls, for that resurrection declared, Messiah has come. Jesus, the anointed of God, the Savior, has come. He's died to put away our sins and arose again for our justification. Help us, Lord, to get an understanding of the wonderful blessings and miracles wrought because of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, fill me with thy Spirit and speak through me this morning. And may the Word of God find reception in the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls today. We ask you to bring conviction upon every man and woman that does not know of certainty that heaven is their home and their sins are forgiven. So much so that today they would accept you as their personal Savior and have that wonderful promise of life everlasting in Jesus Christ. Now give me liberty and power to preach. Help me to keep it plain and simple and understandable. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name for every decision made and every soul saved. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. While Jesus was hanging on the cross by the nails in his hands and feet, he spoke seven statements. The first statement is in Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These were words of forgiveness from the lips of the crucified Christ. The second statement Jesus spake is found in John 19, 26. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And these were words of concern and compassion for the woman who had given him birth, that allowed God to use her to give body and flesh to God, the incarnate Son of God. He was taking care of her future on earth by giving her over to John, the beloved apostle, the youngest of the disciples, that he might care for her. And then in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And these words spoken by Jesus were spoken to one of the thieves, and they were words of salvation. In his dying moments, he had compassion for a lost sinner who put his faith and trust in Jesus. And he spake words of salvation. In Mark chapter 15, we read the fourth statement from the cross. The Bible says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And these are words of unspeakable suffering. For in that moment he was abandoned by God in order that God might pour out his wrath upon Jesus, the wrath that we deserve, the suffering we deserve, the judgment we deserve. He poured out on Jesus. And Jesus suffered and bled and died in our place. Then in John chapter 19 and verse 28, the fifth words or statement from the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. These are words of a man, a God-man, dying and suffering in our place. He who is the water of life suffered so intensely on the cross that his throat was parched. And instead of giving him water to drink, they gave him vinegar. And then in the sixth statement from the cross is found in John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. That's what our choir sang about this morning. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And these were words of an obedient Savior. For he endured the shame. He suffered the agony of the cross for us. He could have come down from that cross and sent the world to hell. But God sent him as our sacrifice, and as an obedient son and an obedient Savior, he went to the cross and died in our place. And he said, It is finished. And the last word spoken from the cross is in Luke 23, verse 46. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died. And these were words of homecoming. He had done his work here on earth. He had finished his work. 3 days and three nights later, he would come out of the grave. And 40 days after that, he would ascend back to the Father. Words of homecoming. May I say to you, that same Jesus that ascended back to glory is coming back again for you and me to take us home if we're saved. Now our message and text comes from the sixth statement by our Lord as he suffered on the cruel cross. It is finished. It is finished. Many things were finished in that black hour on Calvary. The soldiers had finished their ungodly task of crucifying the promised Messiah and Savior. The hateful crowd had finished their hateful jeering and mocking at the Son of God. The hypocritical priest had finished their awful and hellish work of murdering the Son of God. Ignorance and blind religious zeal had finished the worst act in human history. The two thieves had finished their life of crime, and now they were facing judgment. One finished mocking Christ and rebelling. The other finished repenting and was gloriously saved. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John felt that their hopes and dreams were finished on that day when they watched the promised King of Kings dying. Mary watched her son dying. You see, they had not listened to the words of Jesus who told them that he was going to the cross and he was going to suffer and bleed and die. They had their own ideas of what was going to happen. Be careful of formulating your own ideas about religious things and spiritual things. You better make sure your ideas are in agreement with the Word of God. They stood there that day with their hopes and dreams finished, they thought. Their mind was filled with question marks and uncertainty. But 3 days and three nights later, those question marks became an exclamation point as Jesus came out of the grave to live and reign. He finished redemption's plan. He paid our sin debt. That old rugged cross on Calvary held no beauty for the followers of Jesus on that day. It's only as we look back over these past 2,000 years and we see the effects His death and resurrection has had on the lives of men and women and nations, does that ugly picture of cruelty and death give way to beauty and hope everlasting because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. The cry from the lips of our Lord, "It is finished," is the statement holds my attention for this morning's message. What did He mean when He said, "It is finished"? May I say, first of all, it was a cry from the cross. The cry from the cross, "It is finished," was a cry of relief. You and I have no understanding of the agony a holy God had in a body of flesh just to live in a sinful world. For all eternity past, He lived in glory and fellowship with the Father. There was no sin there. There was no ungodliness there. There was no wickedness there. There was no evil there. And then in the fullness of time, God had planned His Son to become a man and live on this earth in order that He might suffer and bleed and die for all of those evil, sinful, wicked, hell-deserving people, of which we are included. I can't imagine the agony within His own soul at just having to tolerate a thrice holy God, tolerate the sin and hatred and hypocrisy on this earth. Now He's hanging on a cross. I believe it was a cry of relief. It was just about over. He was getting ready to go back to the Father. He was finishing His work. Man often welcomes death to end terrible suffering. Never forget that Jesus was God incarnate in human flesh. He was man as well as God. He is the last Adam. Never has man suffered as Jesus suffered that day. It was not just the nails. It was not just the beating. It was not just the crown of thorns. It was not the mockery. It was not just the spear in His side. That was suffering. But all the greater suffering was that the holy, undefiled Son of God became sin that day for me and you. All of the sin of all of the world were placed on Him that day. And God judged Him for our sin. I believe when He said it is finished, it was a cry of relief because of the burden of our sin He bore in our place. He fought Satan and sin all of His life on earth. As He preached nothing but hope and goodwill and forgiveness of sin, He was hated. They tried to kill Him. As He healed the suffering and the sick, the religious crowd of that day hated Him and tried to kill Him. As He spake truth about our sin, man hated Him. And finally, put Him on an old rugged cross and nailed Him there. And as He hung there and suffered and bled and died, He cried, "It is finished." I believe it was a cry of relief because the sin debt had been paid. He was about to go back to the Father. The second thing I think the cry from the cross, "It is finished," meant was it was a cry of victory. You better understand that just because Jesus suffered and bled and died on that cross, it didn't mean that Satan had won. That's why He came. That was the predetermined plan of God for man's redemption. And that cry rang back in time to the beginning of sin, to Adam and his generation who received the first promise of a Savior. That cry told Adam's descendants that there's no reason to run and hide any longer. Salvation has been provided. Redemption has come. Jesus has taken our place and died for us. Forgiveness and reconciliation with God is now completed. Sinful man's redemption was finished in Jesus. That cry, "It is finished," rang forward to the end of the ages with the victory message that salvation is available and free to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord with simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can be saved. Simple faith. Thank God it rang forward. That shout, "It is finished," ascended into the very throne room of God, declaring that the law had been satisfied. Sin and Satan was now a defeated enemy to all who would come to God by Christ Jesus as their Savior. That cry, "It is finished," descended into the pits of mankind in paradise, preparing them for a moment, sometime in the next 3 days and nights, when Jesus would visit them and lead captivity captive into the very presence of God in heaven. That cry, "It is finished," still rings out to all mankind today, to the rich, to the poor, to the famous and the unknown, to the educated and the uneducated. And it's all are receiving the same message: for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is finished. Christ's death and resurrection declares victory over sin, victory over death and hell and the grave for all who receive Christ as Savior. It was God incarnate who died for our sins. It was God incarnate who finished it. Finished salvation's price. Why, the Bible says in Romans 1:4, He is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There have been multitudes of people down through history that have said, "I'm Christ." We have a few nuts around today that are saying, "I'm Christ. I'm Christ." But the big difference between those who say it and the one who was and is Christ, the Bible says the Christ, would die. He'd be put in a tomb, and 3 days and three nights later, he would be raised from the dead. They said, "We're Christ." They died and rotted. They're still in the grave. They're liars. But this man came out of the grave right on schedule and was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And by the way, all of this was promised and prophesied of before it ever took place in time. It wasn't some Johnny come lately said, "This must be the Son of God because he was raised from the dead." They said in prophecy, before he was ever born, that he would live and die and would be raised from the dead. And Jesus was, and he is the Son of God. That's the reason he could say when he died on Calvary, "It is finished," because salvation's plan was complete. His resurrection promises justification to all who believe. The Bible says in Romans 4:25, "Who Jesus was delivered for our offenses," talking about Calvary, "and was raised for our justification." That word justification means for all who put their faith and trust in Christ, they are declared righteous in the sight of God. They are as if they had never sinned because of the finished work of Jesus on Calvary and His resurrection. What a Savior! What a God! What a victory won for hell-deserving sinners. Then may I say lastly that the cry from the cross, "It is finished," was a cry of completion. It was a cry of completion. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." That word sanctified means those that are set apart in Christ. You say, "How do I get set apart in Christ?" Accept Him by faith as your Savior. And when you accept Christ as Savior, you're set apart in Christ. You have that heavenly standing and that justification. You've been reconciled to God. God has been reconciled to you. You're no longer an enemy to heaven. Heaven becomes your home. And all of that took place because of one offering. One offering. When He said it is finished, He said it's complete. Hebrews 10:17-18 says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." When He said it is finished, it was a cry of completion. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Completion, salvation was completed to the point in Christ that even God could not add another thing to man's salvation to make it better. It's complete in Jesus Christ. He made it finished, complete. Nothing had to be added. That means you can't add anything to it. Some people teach that salvation is just the down payment is made on Calvary. And you have to accept Jesus and keep it up by good works. Well, had that been the truth, Jesus couldn't have said it is finished, because it wouldn't have been complete. But because He said it's finished, He says nothing can be added. Nothing's needed to be added. It is complete. It is finished. It's ready for anyone who needs to be saved to accept Jesus as they are and have salvation complete, finished forever in Jesus Christ. It is a cry of completion. It's made. He made it finished. He made it complete. He also made it free for anyone on the merit of grace through faith. He made it free. If it's free, it means I can't do anything to earn it and I can't pay anything to get it. Somebody else paid the price in full, and all I can do is accept it or reject it. I'm talking about "It is finished," declares a completed salvation. Finished, complete, free for anyone on the merit of grace through faith. You say, "Where do I get the faith?" If you want to be saved, He'll give you the faith to believe. So how do I know if I've got enough faith? If you have enough faith, if you want to be saved and have enough faith to ask, that's enough faith. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon Him. If I was going to call my house, I could dial my telephone number and call my house. But I can't call God on the phone. If I'm going to call God, I call Him in prayer. And in prayer, I ask Him to forgive my sins and save my soul. And if I've got a desire to be saved and enough faith to ask Him, then God's given me enough faith to be saved. Because He said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, it's finished, it's complete, it's free. Then may I say, it's forever for all who'll accept. Thank God when I got saved, God didn't say, "All right, you're saved today, but I don't know about tomorrow." He didn't say, "Okay, right now, but tomorrow you blow it, son. You're on your own." No, no. From the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, through the endless ages of eternity, I am a child of God and saved because Jesus paid my price and He finished and completed it. And it's forever. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now let me ask you, how long is everlasting life? It's as long as the finished salvation Jesus has provided for us. He's made it not only finished and complete, He's made it free, He's made it forever, He's made it available to anyone and to everyone who'll accept. You don't have to walk out of here today and die and go to hell without Christ as Savior. He's made it available to you today. You say, "I don't have anything." You don't have to have anything except the faith He gives you. If you'll come with that and ask Him, He'll save you. But the decision is yours. Now listen, Jesus did everything about salvation to complete it. You can't do one thing to add to it or take away from it. The only part we have in getting saved is wanting to be saved and calling on Jesus Christ. He finished. He's paid it all. He says, "Here it is. This is more precious than winning the lottery. This is more precious than inheriting $1 million. But it's not going to be yours until you accept it. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to know heaven's your home? You can be saved. But like everybody else who's ever been saved before you, you have to come receiving Jesus Christ. That is your part. Realizing you're a sinner, you need to be saved, and accepting Jesus as your Savior. As the precious blood of Jesus ran down from the wounds in His head, hands, His feet, and His side, and His beaten body, Jesus Christ, it cried, "It is finished." Salvation is available to you this morning, complete, free, and forever, if you'll come to Christ accepting Him as your Savior. As you face your eternity this morning, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. As you face your eternity this morning, if you choose to do nothing about your need of a Savior, you're finished. Where will you go if you don't accept Christ? Where will you go for help? Where will you go for forgiveness? Since there's only one way. There's only one Savior. Where are you going to go? Yes, when Jesus said it's finished, He meant for those of you who reject Him, you're finished. No hope, no heaven, no forgiveness without Him. No forgiveness without Him. Now, this is Resurrection Sunday. It's not a day dedicated to the Easter Bunny and colored eggs. That's the world's substitute to get our mind off Jesus and salvation. This day is Resurrection Sunday. It's about salvation and victory in Jesus Christ for all who'll accept Him as Savior. It is a day dedicated to remind us, as hell-deserving sinners, we can have a right standing with God. We can be justified because of faith in the resurrected Christ. It means to be declared righteous on the merit of the crucified and risen Christ. Have you accepted Him today? Have you put your trust in Him today? It's a day to help us to remember that we are eternal beings. We are sinful beings. And we're facing eternity. And that eternity is either hell without Christ or heaven with Christ. And that is determined here as we choose to put our faith in Him and be saved, or we choose to do nothing. You don't have to reject Him by shaking your fist in His face and say, "I reject you." You just sit there and do nothing. And you have rejected Him, the one who hung on Calvary and paid our price in sin so that we could be saved. Don't you think a wise decision would be to trust Him? The greatest decision I've ever made, I made as a 15-year-old boy when I realized I was lost and that I could never pay for my sin without going to hell. And I walked forward in a service on a Saturday night in a revival in August 1954. And as a 15-year-old boy, I asked Jesus to forgive my sin and save my soul. He did. Greatest decision I ever made. I didn't make it as a man. I made it as a 15-year-old boy. Looks like every one of us ought to have the sense of a 15-year-old boy, should. Enough sense to say, "I need to be saved. And I want to settle it today by accepting Jesus as my son." Jesus said, "It is finished." It either means that our salvation plan is finished in Christ, or if you do nothing about accepting Him, you're finished without hope and without hope. Father, that's our message. Thank You for this day when we can remember the resurrected Christ, the one who suffered and bled and died, the one who arose again, declaring that salvation was complete, finished, free, and for anyone who would come and trust Him as Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one